Hi, everyone. This is your co-host, Stu, and I'm here with the paranormalist, Patty Wilson. Patty, how are you today?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
As well as can be expected.
Yes.
I would like to thank all of our listeners and subscribers for being with us, for subscribing with us and liking us and all that good stuff. And if you're not subscribed, please consider clicking the subscribe button that's down below on whichever platform. Gives us that thumbs up if you like our content. And we have the Linktree link below to all of our Facebook groups and the email address if you wanted to send us an email, which we were so fortunate to have a new member send us a rather lengthy email, which I'm very pleased for, with a lot of questions for a Q&A. And if you remember quite a few episodes ago, we were asking, you know, for questions for a Q&A. Well, we have plenty of questions right now. And instead of me asking Patty what we're going to do this time, I'm going to tell you we're going to be doing the Q&A episode.
Yay.
All righty. So without further ado, I'm just going to go right down through the list. And I hope I won't miss any because I only have one computer monitor. And even though I'd like to have things stretched across, I only have one. So I got to shrink things up. So, and I'm old.
I tell everybody I'm an old chick, so I'm right there beside you.
So if you're ready, I'm just and I will give the disclaimer that neither Patty nor I have prepared for any of these. Now, Patty has seen these questions, as have I. We haven't prepared anything, so we're going to be answering these right off the cuff.
Yes.
So,
which is the only way to do this, because it's just tell the truth.
This is as real as it gets. So.
Yep.
First question, what got both of you into the paranormal?
Okay, well, for me, I have always known I was interested in it. My first event happened when I was 8 years old. My grandpap's name was Bookie. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night and Bookie was standing at the foot of my bed. And I knew instinctually, nobody said anything, that this meant that I would never see Bookie again. Now, Bookie was one of the most revered figures in my world because my father revered him and I revered my father. So all of my family had great respect for him. So him being there at the foot of my bed was very impactful to my little 8-year-old brain. I began to cry and he faded away. And my mom and dad came in and I told them Bookie had died. And they hushed me and said it was a nightmare until the next morning when my aunt called at a decent hour, because she saw no reason to wake everybody in the middle of the night to tell my family that Bookie had passed away. And my dad wanted to know how I knew. And when I explained it to the best of my ability as an 8-year-old, my mom hushed me real quick. My dad just kind of looked at me a little surprised. And I would come to know that the paranormal you had to be quiet about. And I would learn that lesson over and over again. But that event changed me and made me interested in the subject as I started to grow up and had other events. Then I began to do research and the fascination blossomed into paranormal books and all kinds of other things. And how about you, Stu?
Well, I've told this story before. Actually, the two kind of go together. So I was 5 years old because we moved into the new house December 21st of 1968. And so in the old house, it was a rental house, 2-bedroom. It was just me and my brother, who's a year and a half younger. And my dad did most of the work on the new house. So he was out working on the house this particular evening. This would have been late fall. And so my mother and brother and I are sitting in the living room. And I think the console TV wasn't even on because my mother didn't really like the TV, you know, so. And she was either reading to us or something like that. And from up above on the second floor, I could hear footsteps. And it sounded like boots. Ka-thump, 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 you know. And I said, is Daddy home? And she says, no. And my mother said, no, he's out working on the new house. And just then, next room, the dining room, the ceiling just came down to the floor. Okay. So that was one thing that got me interested. I'm like, I know I heard something, right? So, and when I mentioned that I heard footsteps, my mother said, no, you're just imagining. Like, how many adults tell kids, no, you're just imagining it. You didn't hear that, right? So then when we moved into the new house, it wasn't until that spring or something, I'm pretty certain I wasn't in school and I was, you know, 6 years old. I came inside from playing, ran in the front door like a kid does, you know, let the screen door slam and turned right and turned left to go in, wanted to go into the bathroom. And at the end of the hallway, I saw, for want of a better word, I called him a little man at that time, but it was a gnome. So, and it was over the course of the next 6 years that I would see these guys at various places. They would never speak or anything else. So that was about the same time that I got interested in science fiction and started reading things like that. So whether that affected my mind or made me more open to those things, all I know is that I know what I heard, I know what I saw. But again, like so many adults, they are, you know, oh no, you just imagine that, you know, you're being hysterical, you know.
Yeah. So.
But that's what got me into the paranormal, and since then, been into it. So, I mean, that's just, it's a fascinating topic to me. So this is, again, you mentioned this podcast is a labor of love for both of us. And really, it's not only that, but it's also educational for me, too. I get to learn a lot from the master.
I'm still learning myself. Everyone's still learning all their life. No one knows it all. I've gotten to sit at the feet of John Zaffis and Mark Nesbitt and you know, and just some amazing gentlemen of great renown. And I have to tell you, they would have said the same thing. No one ever knows it all.
All right. So hopefully we answered that first question. The second one, how did you and Patty meet?
Well, I did the podcast. We did this podcast before another gentleman and I, and Stu began to tune in and began to converse with us. And I had a computer problem, and Stu graciously reached out and said, "Hey, I think I know how to fix that." And over the course of time, we became friends, and we've managed to stay friends. And when he was expressing that he was missing the podcast, and I was expressing that I was missing doing the podcast, he volunteered to help me with it as a gracious gesture, and now eats up his time. And I said, well, it's more fun to do it with somebody else. And he said, well, I can do my best. And I think he does amazing. And the podcast, y'all don't realize it, but it would not exist without Stu.
Oh, thanks, Patty. And it just, I was going to say, but if we're going to say where, you and I met for the first time on my driveway when I handed you the cable, the Ethernet cable. But yeah, whenever I enjoy the topic so much. So whenever I first found the Paranormals podcast, whenever the previous co-host started the Patreon page, I was Patreon number one. I was here's my $5. Yeah, I'll take your content early. I'll give you whatever you need.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been I'm really interested in it, in case you can't tell. So but yeah, we met on my driveway, and it was while everyone was staying home from COVID and things like that too. So.
Yep. It was.
And I'd like to say that that did fix your problem.
It did fix my problem. In fact, that same Ethernet cable is still attached to this laptop to this day.
I'm happy. It's a long-lasting fix. So
it is. Thank you for it.
All right. Our third question is, do you have a memorable paranormal experience that you'll never forget, whether it be good or bad?
Yes. So there are many good ones. There's one bad one. And I learned the most from that. And that was a case in West Virginia when I was working as a paranormal investigator. And we were called to a home. A friend of mine had a niece who was going to college. And this was a big old house that was rented to a lot of college girls. And they shared this big double house. And I went down there prepared for a haunting. And what I walked into was a demonic infestation. And
not the story I thought you were going to tell. So.
Oh, really?
No.
I'll have to find out what you thought I was going to tell. But I mean, impactful. This was probably it changed me forever. That's why I chose this story is why, because I will never forget it. And during the course of this event, these young ladies and a young gentleman who was there were all being attacked, and it was horrendous to watch. It was horrendous to see their pain and their agony as they collapsed. And I did something that as an investigator, I knew was not right, but I walked it out of there. I told it, if you leave them alone, you can walk out with me. And it did. And so for almost 24 hours, it was inside of me moving. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't go home because I couldn't take it to my children, who were teenagers at the time. I sat in my car all night and just sobbed, feeling this thing moving in me. And in the morning, a dear friend called me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." And I started to break down and I told him what was going on. And 10 minutes later, another dear friend, Charlie, called me and he said, "Come to my house." And they had reached out to a friend of ours who was a priest. And I said, "I don't want to take it to your home." He said, "Just get to my house." And they took care of the issue there. Now, I learned a lot. Sometimes in the passion of wanting to help somebody, we do something stupid. I learned that it took something out of me, and this thing got enough power to visit each of my investigators from that case. There are a thousand things I learned, but it changed me forever. I'm a different type of investigator today because of it.
Very interesting. I've had nowhere near that, you know, but if I think about it, and again, I've told this story before too, I believe. It was this little house built in 1928 in Bellefonte, basically basement and then everything else. I mean, and you know, crawl space in the attic. So essentially like that is two stories, but the basement, the master bedroom, the back of it faced the back of the house, and the whole, it was like 90 feet wide, the yard, but like almost 400 feet long. It was pretty bad. And the Bellefonte Catholic Cemetery bordered on the back. I forget what little fest or something else we went to, but basically we liked this thing. We saw that a picture, okay, had a wooden frame of a guy with a Tyrolean hat, you know, and the pipe, and, you know, a traditional German looking guy, or at least, you know, to our caricature of a German guy, that was what it was. So we bought that. We called him Fritz. And we did have him hanging above the bed. So, you know, our headboard was against the bed and it was hanging above the bed. Well, one evening I woke up, and you know how you wake up and you realize something's not right.
Yes.
So, and I look down at the foot of the bed and I see this dark shape come up and then just whoosh across the bed, went through the painting, you know, Fritz, and out the back of the house. Usually things that are black aren't very good. So I remember at that point, Fritz came off the wall, and Mrs. Stu didn't even know why, or didn't really even miss it, you know, but I basically tucked it away. And I think it was sitting here in the garage of this house for a couple decades before I really think that we sold it at a yard sale.
Yes, you told me at the time that you sold it at a yard sale.
And I can see the woman who bought it. And I wish her well if anything bad happened. You know, I don't even know if anything bad happened to Fritz. It was just because whatever this was went right through him. Mm-hmm. To me, it was tainted, and I didn't want to have it up there anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that was probably, other than the one with the little gnomes that I saw all over the place. I mean, but other than that, I think that was the most memorable. Yeah. I remember all of them, though, but so it's hard to say which one is most memorable. The next question, I'm going to have to try to speed these up because we're spending a lot of time on them. And unless we want a 2.5 hour episode.
Well, if we don't get them all, we can always do another session another time.
Ah, why didn't I think of that? Well, this one, I'm going to ask the question and then I'm going to answer first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Because you'll see why. So, do you have a favorite ghost story? And yes, I have an absolute favorite ghost story, and it's one of yours from your first book, and it's The Demon on the Pump.
My boys would agree with you. That's one of their favorite stories as well.
I've had that green book for quite a while now. I did have to buy it used, but you know, it was the only way to get it.
I know. See? I still have copies of it.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
what's your favorite ghost story?
It's like asking what's your favorite child. I will say that my favorite ghost stories are always the ones where our loved ones intervene on our behalf. I tell a story in a book from a long time ago about a lady in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. She's going down the mountain in the middle of the winter. Her brakes go out. And she gets this harebrained scheme that she's going to jump out of the car when it goes around this one turn because she can't stop the car and it's just picking up speed. And she's thinking, this is my only chance. I'm going to crash at the bottom and die. So she gets ready. She gets her one hand on the steering wheel to keep it on the road and the other hand at the door. And all of a sudden hears her father's voice. And he says, get your hand off that door. And she jumps and grabs a hold of the steering wheel and she rides it down. She does have an accident, but she does not die. She's just rattled up pretty good. So when the police get there and they're like, you're really lucky, you know, you hit a snowbank, it could have been so much worse. And she said, I was going to jump. And the police officer's like, what? She explains what she had thought to do. And he's like, well, thank God you didn't jump, because you would have broken your neck and rolled underneath the vehicle and you would have been dead. And he said, what made you change your mind? And she said, my father yelled at me. I like those kind of stories. Mm-hmm. I like the good ones.
Well, that kind of feeds into the next question. Of all your experiences, do spirits have a common message for the living?
No. Every person has different motivations for what we do. And it's the same when you die. Some people are arrogant. Some people are myopic and are only seeing the small picture of their own wants, needs, and desires. And some people may come back for literally 10 seconds to say something like, get your hand off the door. And then they move back to where they need to be, but they just come for a second. So every spirit has its own motivation. And it's one of the things when you're working in that field, you have to figure out is what motivates them.
You know, I'm going to have to say in my experience of paranormal, mm-hmm. No ghosts.
Yeah.
I think there's most everything I've seen has been something other than a ghost.
Yeah.
So what it was, I don't know. So I really can't answer that question.
And even with a ghost, I can't tell you for sure nobody knows for sure what they are. Are they demons? Are they spirits of dead loved ones? Are they a mixture thereof? Are they energy that you feed out into the universe where something takes advantage of it? I don't know.
All right. We're up to question number 6.
Yay.
Okay. Do you and or Patty, so I'm assuming she wrote this, you know, knowing that I monitor the email address,
right,
have psychic abilities?
Okay. I don't like the word psychic abilities. It makes me antsy. I feel like there should be a fat lady in a caftan. I got the fat lady part down, but the caftan I don't want. So I call it my spidey sense. Everybody has that knowing sometimes about something. You get that real gut feeling, and that's really what it is for me. That's about where I usually leave it.
On my side, I don't want to, I don't want to use the term psychic, because the common perception of that is someone who's either a fortune teller or I can tell you what you have in your pocket or, you know, what you're thinking, something like that. And again, with me, I think that the feelings that I've had, so I haven't heard voices in my head. I haven't heard somebody telling me what to do, you know, something like that. But I certainly get the feeling that if I do this, that's going to be a bad, bad, bad thing to do. And I get that. I get an overwhelming feeling if I'm planning on doing something and it's the wrong thing to do. I get the feeling that it's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So in that respect, and I mean, I can, if there's a scale for sensitivity, I know you're pretty high, you know, Charlie's really, really high on that list. If it was a scale of 1 to 100, I'd put myself in the bottom 5%.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some places where I go where I can detect things that are, mm-hmm. said there's something here that just isn't right. I don't want to go there. Or in one case, I wanted to go there and something prevented me, some invisible force prevented me from walking into the room. So I would say a little bit, but you know, literally only a little bit. And it's not something that happens all the time, you know, and it's situational, I think, for me. Oh, this one's definitely just for you and you alone. Do you have more angel stories besides the ones we did in episode 37 and 38, which was Angels Part 1 and Angels Part 2?
How many hours do y'all have? I love angel stories. I love good things. The hardest part of working in the paranormal is so often it's negative. And I've shared this many times. My dear friend John Zaffis, when he started working with Ed and Lorraine Warren, his aunt and uncle, he had decided he was going to try to focus on the positive. And he stood up at one of his first speaking gigs, began talking about angels. And he began to lose his audience. They were just bored. And he said, he started to panic. And he said, so I kind of rolled it around. I said, well, you know, if there are angels and there are demons. And he said, immediately everybody stood up. I don't understand that. I would much rather hear the angel stories than the demon stories. So, yep, I have plenty. In fact, I'm hoping to do another one of those in the next few weeks. So hang in there.
All righty. How do your family and friends feel about your paranormal interests?
Well, my mother hated it with a purple passion, was very upset. She was a Pentecostal missionary. So she saw this as being beyond and outside of her faith. And I loved her dearly. She loved me dearly. But we avoided that topic whenever possible. So I never talked to her about the books or any of that. I would only come to learn way late in her life that she even had any pride in the fact that I had published all the books I had published, because I rarely showed them to her. I rather rarely said anything about any of it. I might say, I've got to go write, Mom, so I got to get going. But I would never be any more specific. My kids are used to it. They've had to grow up with certain strictures and laws and rules, because there's always the opportunity for negative things to take advantage of their naivety and their energy. So, and I could do an entire episode on just that alone. But so there's mixed feelings. I've asked the boys if they would have rather I was just a regular normal mom. They tell me no. They found a lot of interesting stuff that they got to do as kids growing up. But by the same token, every one of them do not want the paranormal to touch their own children.
Well, that's a natural, parental instinct.
It is.
You want to keep your children safe.
Sure. And unfortunately, I knew that because of what was going on, and not just what I was pursuing, but because of other things that were happening in my world, that wasn't a possibility, that they needed to have that armor wrapped around them. So we went a different route. But I've done the best I can to keep my family safe. But mixed feelings. How about yours?
I would probably say that, you know, looking at both sides of the family, so my side and Mrs. Stu's side, when I've mentioned that, you know, we do the podcast and how I like to look at things, you know, paranormal, I'm just going to go off the cuff and say maybe 70% say crackpot, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe another 20% would be, oh, that's mildly interesting. And the other 10% would probably be like, oh, you be careful.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So it's, overall, I mean, I'm still going to do it. You know? So anyway, that's the type of family that I came from.
Right.
And married into.
Sure.
Do you ghost hunt?
I have ghost hunted since I was in my 30s. I'm going to be 60 in December. I have not for the last couple years ghost hunted very much at all. A lot of that was pandemic related. People were afraid to let you in their home. They were very quiet. They were locked down emotionally, psychically, as well as physically. And as right now, I haven't been doing anything, mostly because I had a couple health concerns I've been addressing. And just have not felt the desire. Like I don't feel like I'm in a place strength-wise to do it at this point. So I've been letting it alone for a little while. But yeah, overall, over the years, I've got literally journal upon journal upon journal of paranormal cases. The theory being, as I was writing them down, someday when I get old, I'll have to sit down and start going through them and tell everybody all these stories, because those are not the stories in the books. It's an entirely different set of stories.
A little bit different for me. So I didn't really have even the desire to go actively seeking ghosts, simply because all my experiences came to me in the first place. And again, not really any ghosts. So would I relish the opportunity to interact with a ghost? Absolutely. But not having the way I look at it, not having really the training and the background for it, I wouldn't want to do it by myself.
Right.
So. And without having someone more experienced to go out with. So my actual investigations, quote, are very, very limited. I'm a tech kind of guy. So I do have a couple of the, you know, traditional, you know, I've got the EVP recorder, I've got a EMF meter. I have the a spirit box, which I'm thinking is just a whole lot of hokum.
I don't know. I have to tell you, I've seen them work really well, and I've seen them work really lousy.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on my experience with them in the few places that I've been with them, didn't get anything from them. So based on my personal experience.
Okay, right.
And I'm perfectly, you know, I don't take an idea and keep it forever. If I have a belief for something and I obtain other evidence, something otherwise, I will certainly change my belief system based on, you know, that. But yeah, I really don't, simply because it was more for a safety kind of thing, because I wouldn't want to get into a situation where it's not a ghost and it's something quite a bit more evil.
Right.
And so even the situations where I had things happen to me, I didn't try to go back and find out what that was, you know, because I didn't want to stir up trouble.
Right. So,
this one, I know that you could answer this one very easily. And do you help people who have had paranormal issues at home?
Yes. That has always been, from the very beginning, the reason that I did this. I started out writing. That was what I wanted to do. Tell ghost stories and history stories and folklore and what have you. That's really where my heart lays. And then I received them after the first book, the one that this Jew was talking about. I received this letter from my hometown from a lady asking me if ghosts can hurt you. And I read what she said, and she said about how her little boy is like 5 years old, and they live in this house, and the ghost is threatening to kill him, and he's terrified. And I thought, we have three choices here. We can ignore it and write it down as crank. We can assume she's got a mental health issue, or she wants attention. But if there's a fourth one, that might mean something about that story's true. And I had no experience as a ghost hunter. I'd been out with a girlfriend of mine a couple times at a couple haunted sites. That's about it. So we went into that case. And from that, I came to realize there are a lot of people, very nice people, way in over their heads, who didn't ask for this. So for the last 20 some years, yes, I have been doing exactly that.
Yeah, there was one opportunity that I missed, and it was a friend of mine that I worked with. She was telling me how a relative, I can't remember if it was aunt or uncle, I think it was aunt and uncle, that they had paranormal activity in their house in Altoona. Of course, not going to mention any names. And I said, oh, I would relish an opportunity. And, you know, so a lot of it was like poltergeist activity. You know, I said, for something like that, I said, I'd relish an opportunity to go in there. And they said, well, and she said, they don't like people to come in because when things quiet down, it stays that way until somebody comes in and stirs it up again. So,
yep, that makes sense.
Again, I also have to be very, very careful. Would I be willing to help people? Sure. Have I learned things from both the last iteration of the podcast and this one with you? Sure. Have I actually done it in the field? Nope. So, again, I would feel better going out with somebody else who was doing something like that. But, yeah, I would be more than happy to help somebody if I could.
Yeah.
But I realize that I'm not in that position right now. So I think I'm being the tech guy and the co-host right now, that's my place.
Yeah, I kind of look at this as educating people. I hope that helps. Not only do I entertain, I hope that we actually educate as well. And if so, then I think that's also a help for people. But yeah, we do help if needed.
All right. So the author of the questions had a vested interest in this one. Do you have any ghost stories from the Southwest Virginia area?
I have to tell you, Virginia has a bazillion stories, and I will make sure that in the coming weeks we will tell some stories from the southwestern part of Virginia. So yes, I do have stories. I just don't have them all marshaled in front of me right now, and I'm trying to keep the time frame down a little bit, but pay attention because they'll be popping up, and I will let you know that they're for you.
Very good. And also, on a similar vein, this next question: could you do another episode on curses? Episode 48 was one of my favorites.
Actually, ironically, before I got this, I had already been working on three different episodes, one of which was on curses, generational curses. So watch out for that coming up. I'd be happy to hear from you and find out what you think about it. For all of you, anybody listening, please feel free. Reach out to us.
All right. Again, another one that you are going to be better suited to answer this one. Any recommendations if you find yourself living in a haunted house?
Stay calm. Don't talk about it. Don't focus on it. Try to ignore it. If you find yourself in a situation where whatever it is has gone out of bounds with you or a family member, claim your own territory. So many times I come into a site because the family is terrified because they hear footsteps going up and down or something's pushed their child or whatever. And they have not taken the most simple, basic actions, such as just simply say it and mean it. I'm going to tell you right now, this is my home now. I own it. I pay the bills and you can get out now. Something along, it's a do-it-yourself exorcism in its own weird way. Yeah. I will tell you about 70% of the time that works. Claim it and don't focus on it. The more you focus on it, the more energy you give it, the more frightened you are, the more energy you give it. You know, I have had people who've told me their house is terribly haunted. They've had all kinds of stuff going on. And yet every time I tell them not to focus on it, the next Facebook post that pops up on my Facebook is them. Oh my gosh, we were talking to the people from the paranormal group and they told us this. And right after they left, the book fell down off the bookshelf. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the car going down the street, and it never ends. And so, yeah, seriously, don't give it any energy.
Very good advice. Okay. Do you believe in bad luck? Is it part of being cursed? And do we cause our own bad luck?
So, yeah, I do believe there are people who have bad luck. I do believe quite often it comes because you have an attachment or a generational curse. And sometimes we do cause our own bad luck. Sometimes we manifest what we think should happen. And then we play to that manifestation. So maybe you don't make the decisions you would have made had you been in a different headspace. So I think there's a lot of different things that go on. I wrote a book on curses, Cursed in Pennsylvania, with my friend Mark Nesbitt. And when we began the research on curses, we found that they were much broader and much deeper and lasted much longer. And since then, due to a friend of mine, and her having a generational curse, which we had to break because it was doing damage in her life, I've learned a great deal more about curses, some of which you will be definitely hearing about in future podcasts.
Very good. And again, I really can't answer that at all. So next, what is your background in the paranormal and how many years have you been doing it? So you've already touched on
pretty much
that to a certain degree. Yeah. And again, so yeah, you and I are roughly the same age,
Yes. But
you have vastly more experiences because in your case, you've put yourself in the situation to investigate or to help somebody. In my case, it's strictly happenstance.
Yeah.
It just happens to me. So where you're on the stage, I'm sitting in the audience, you know, things just happen to me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm that girl that like jumps off the cliff and says, oh gosh, I guess I'm going to break my legs when I get to the bottom. It's just who I am. I'm curious and I want to know the answer. So but the answer to your question about the background, I had the luck of being able to talk to Dr. Hans Holzer. I've worked with Mark Nesbitt. I've worked with John Zaffis, the guys from Ghost Hunters when they were younger. I've had lots of different other people who I won't name them because they're very private people, but are very, very well renowned in the paranormal community. And out of respect, I will keep their anonymity because they choose to do so. And have run a group for about 22 years, written about the subject in multiple books, articles, what have you, different venues all around. So I have a lot of experience there. I also have a master's in science of psychology, so I can definitely help tell the difference between the two.
Uniquely qualified. Yep. Knowing what you know, do you take extra steps to protect yourself and your home?
I don't sage my house. I don't do any of that stuff. And the reason I don't is because those are just superstitions and relics. They work only if you believe they work. What I do is I am a practicing Christian, so I read my Bible, I pray, I ask God to take care of my family, and I leave it in His hands.
Yeah, I'd have to say me personally, I don't do anything because, you know, especially in my house, it's not a haunted house. Do I have experiences in my house? Absolutely. I see cats every so often. I mean, yeah, you and I are both cat people.
Yes.
But I see our former cats occasionally. It's probably been a good month since I've seen one of our former cats. And there are times, and I've mentioned this before, you know, I will get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom. So I go down the hall, swing into the bathroom, come out, lights are off. I mean, I don't require lights in the house. You know, it's not, if there was something really wrong, I would know it.
Again, right.
Not super sensitive, but I certainly would know if there's something wrong or something out of place. Right. And maybe one time out of 15, 20, I'll turn and go back up, and the living room, big room behind me, I will absolutely feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion, I've said something like, I don't mind you being there, but please don't try to scare me. Because if there is somebody there, now I didn't invite them in by saying that, but if there's somebody already there,
right,
I'd appreciate it if they didn't scare me. So, but no, I don't do anything to protect my home, except for after that episode you mentioned one time about the demons making the noise on the outside and
yes,
you inviting them in. Literally now, almost every, now I've been OCD for a long time now. I don't knock three times on a door before I go in, mm-hmm, but I literally, when I like open my front door or window, I will say very softly, you're not allowed in my house.
That is excellent advice. Just in case. But yeah, if I were going on a case, I do extra prayer. I do tell them, you are not welcome to follow me. You are not welcome to come home with me. That kind of thing. But just on a day-to-day basis, I just trust in God.
Is there a location you would not return to for another investigation?
There is a location I had a hard time with. But I would.
I want to go there. I still want to go there, and I have a feeling I know that's, or at least I think that that's the one you were mentioning.
The cemetery outside of Tyrone. Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the very few places I was in a panic to get out of. It was just that bad. That day, but I have been in that cemetery a couple times since then and not had that. Mm-hmm. That depth of response. But no, so far, no. Usually if something scares me really bad, I'll regroup and say, okay, that's it. I'm pulling my big girl panties up and I'm going back in. And that's usually how I think. That's how I function. So.
Oh, and I can't answer this one. This is all you. How did you and Patty come up with the name for the podcast?
With the first gentleman, we were trying to come up with a name. And I wanted to talk about everything in the paranormal world, not just ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, you know, angels, demons, the whole nine yards, and much, much more. And so we played around with some names, and I said paranormalist, and he's like, yeah, I like that. So we chose that because it kind of allows me the luxury of talking about all those subjects. I've been on a few Bigfoot hunts. I've collected and worked with people that do UFO research, all these different things. So that's how it came to be.
Okay. I just tagged along. Patty, you and your mom had a special connection and were able to telepathically communicate. I'm having some tongue-tied issues
today. Okay.
When did that start? And do you have this connection with your kids?
I think everybody has this connection with somebody they love at some point. I don't know when it started. I honestly don't, because it was just unconscious. I began to notice it as I got older and we were living more apart. Like I would pick up the phone and I would start dialing and she'd yell, Pat, I'm already on the phone, stuff like that, you know? And as she became more in need, I became more sensitive to it. And I think that's a love connection. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's about love, because like I noticed it got stronger whenever my mom got older and weaker and needed more attention. And so I was focusing my energy on her in a lot of other ways, even unconsciously. My kids, yes, we've had moments. I have a granddaughter who's 3 and a half who can scare the bejeebers out of her mom, because she'll just get up and say, Grandma's bringing pizza home tonight, or Grandma's all her psychic stuff is about food, let me tell you. Or like, Grammy's going to bring me a hamburger. I know she is. And her mom will say, no, she would call and tell us if she was going to bring something. And sure enough, on the way there, I passed a burger place that I knew the little girl likes. And I decided to stop and buy burgers for supper for everyone so nobody had to cook. And I walk in and her mom's like, how does she know that crap? I got no clue, but she's a really interesting child in that respect. She'll also tell me things like, Grammy, your legs hurt tonight. I can feel it. Stuff like that.
Now, up until that point, I was going to say that she put the suggestion in your mind.
Might have.
To buy the hamburgers. But now, I wouldn't think a three-year-old would have the wherewithal to say, no, your legs are going to hurt tonight.
She will. It's funny because like she'll come in and I'll be sitting there and she'll come over and she'll put her hand on my leg and she'll go, Grammy, your legs are hurting. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And she's
that's
right.
That's extraordinary. Yeah.
That my legs are aching and I have a lot of leg problems. So in my right leg from a car accident, and she'll just know that that's a night when it's really throbbing. And I'm just sitting quietly in my room by myself, minding my own business, leaving it, you know, getting through it. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I think there is, and I think the connections will get tighter in some respects for some of them. And I have not just my own kids, but my one daughter-in-law as well. She's, she'll have these moments when she'll just call and she'll say, Mom, what's wrong? So I feel very blessed to have that kind of love in my life. And I think it's a love connection. I really do.
Yep. That question was for you and you alone. So we're getting down to like the last third of them now. Okay.
Yes, we are.
I've listened to all your episodes. Which one is your favorite? Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Wow. You have no idea what an honor it is. I've, as a writer, there'll be these lovely people who come at me and at a book signing and they'll have this really dog-eared book and they'll be like, it'll be look like somebody chewed it. You know, it's all bent all the directions and everything. And they'll bring it very timidly and they'll say, oh, please, I'm so sorry it looks like this, but will you sign it? That's an honor. And having you, all of you, listen and tell us things like, I've listened to every single podcast. I could cry. Thank you. And I don't have a favorite. I don't have a favorite anymore than I have a favorite son. So for my other two boys who always tell me that my youngest one, Ben, is my favorite, I is not. But I honestly don't. Everyone has a different space, a different rationale behind it being put together. There's different points about them that I really love, and there's different points about them that I would like to fix because that's just the nature of being a human being. We see our mistakes and would like to change them.
I can answer that easily. Any of the ones that have ghost stories. Because I just love your method, your delivery of telling the ghost stories.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's well deserved. And so, yeah, especially when you do some of the ones from your books, you know, I just, a little selfish here. I know from an editing standpoint, that because you know them so well, they flow and I don't have to stop and I don't have to do jump cuts. I don't have to do splices. I don't have to do anything because the material is near and dear to you. So it just flows.
I love to storytell. That's one of my favorite things in the world to do. I've story told at historical sites like Old Bedford Village. I used to do a paranormal walk. We're going to do some paranormal ghost stories in Bedford, Pennsylvania this fall. I love to tell a good ghost story. At the end of the day, that's my favorite thing to do is tell ghost stories. So in October, I have some really, really cool, some really creepy ghost stories and some that are going to come out of the books. I'm going to do an episode that's just stories from the books that I like.
Well, I'm going to say I make sure I won't miss it, but yeah, I don't really
You
miss
can't
it.
Miss it. Yeah, there's nothing without you.
That goes both ways. All right. Are spirits drawn to both you and Patty? So let me answer this one first,
sure.
Because it's going to be very easy. Not really. Your turn.
Depends on the place. Yeah, sometimes because they know I can hear them. Some, I've had times I've just had to get kind of rude with them and tell them not now. Like I was going to be the coach for my oldest grandson being born and I was going into the hospital to this one area to, you know, to sit there and learn all the stuff about being my daughter-in-law's labor coach. And there were these spirits that kept coming at me, and they were like, and I just literally stopped in the hallway and I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not here for this crap. I am here to learn how to help my grandson be born. So if you ever want me to help you or listen to you again, you need to get your ass out of here right now. Not the time. And immediately it stopped. Because there wasn't the time. I have to make a delineation, and I will not ever let the dead overtake my life so that I don't deal with the things I want to as the, with my living, loving family.
I think that answers that question. Okay. This is a funny question. Did the paranormal life choose you, or did you choose it?
A little bit of both. I could have chosen to ignore things and just had that one or two ghost stories from an entire life. But I will tell you again, it was driven by my desire to tell the stories, to write. And I love to write more than anything in this world other than my sons and my family. So that is when I'm at my absolute most happy. And I love telling the stories to everybody here as well. It's a different form of storytelling. It's not exactly writing, but it's a nice difference because usually I'm alone with my stories. And by sharing them with you all here, I'm not alone anymore. And I thank you all for that.
Yeah, and I've mentioned before, for me, it happens just by happenstance. I mean, now this one I know you can answer way more than I can, because my answer is going to be, well, let's see where I'm sitting right now. Her. Do you have any authors and books you can recommend or share that us listeners might enjoy reading? And who are your favorite authors?
My favorite author since I was 12 years old is a gentleman by the name of Elliot O'Donnell, third generation ghost hunter, paranormal investigator at the turn of the 20th century. His books are the reason I fell in love. In fact, I actually have one literally about an arm and a half length away from me right now, The Screaming Skulls, which is my favorite of all of his books. I have been reading it since I was 12. I have never gotten bored. Elliot O'Donnell, love his work. Mark Nesbitt is a phenomenal writer. Phenomenal paranormal investigator, Dr. Hans Holzer, again, one of the most outstanding gentlemen I have ever known. Any book that Johnny does, Johnny Zaffis, I knew he did one with Rosemary Guiley. Her books are phenomenal. She passed away. May she rest in peace, Ro. Good friend. Most of the people I read are people that I know or knew, other than Elliot O'Donnell. But those are all authors that I can tell you, you will definitely get your money's worth out of them.
Good answer. And you know, other than your books, mm-hmm. Which I have a significant number, I have some of Mark Nesbitt's as well. And I think I've mentioned to you before, I've probably had an interest in UFOs just as long, if not longer than, well, probably just as long as I've had an interest in the paranormal. Yeah. And the Millennial Hospitality series by Charles Hall. Fascinating books, especially the first. I found the first one to be the most engaging because that's where he met the tall white aliens.
Right.
And it was just his experiences with them. You know, so, yeah, I can wholeheartedly recommend those. Now, I don't believe they're actually in print format. I've only seen them as a downloadable format, you know, right. an ebook, that's how I purchased mine. I can wholeheartedly recommend those. If you're interested in UFOs and you want kind of a no nonsense glimpse into the mind of what an alien might think, I think those are really good books. The like I said, the first one's more my favorite than the rest. I think there's a total of six in the series now. They're all fascinating, but I think he kind of stretched out the information for the other six books or the other five, same, other than the first one. The first one, I think, is the most hard-hitting. This is interesting, the next question, because we live in different counties. Mm-hmm. Will you both be doing any events where we can do a meet and greet?
I usually do some events every fall in Bedford County, Pennsylvania, which is the county I live in. I, as of now, we are talking about doing a storytelling event in October and it'll be hosted by Downtown Bedford Inc. So if you were interested, you could get a hold of them, and their part of the money goes to help support the community. And that is the only event I have at this moment scheduled for sure. I'll be probably in Gettysburg at Ghosts of Gettysburg Candlelight Walking Tours sometime late October, because I hang out with Mark and Carol as much as we can. And of course, October's kind of like right after that, the weather turns bad and crossing those mountains is always iffy. So we try to spend Halloween together as much as we can. So you can reach out to me and find out if I'm going to be down there and do some book signing, or even if I'm just going to be down there, you can say, hey, can I meet you at the business? And I know for a fact that Mark and Carol would be thrilled with that. They would not have a problem at all. So those are really the only ones. We used to do a lot more events, but again, the pandemic has made everybody skittish. So there's not a whole lot of events. And I, like I said, mostly I just do storytelling for charity now.
Yeah, and you and I have never planned on being any place at the same time, although it would be okay, but you know.
You want to come storytell with me?
I would feel grossly out of place simply because, you know, you insisted I be the co-host, and I reluctantly accepted that. But
I'm really glad.
You are you're the meat and potatoes of the thing. And I'm largely just the tech guy, you know.
No, it's a relationship. And if we didn't have a good relationship, then the listeners would know.
And they have been increasing slowly, you know. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get the YouTube plaques behind us at any time.
Well, I don't know. You never know. Somebody just might tumble to the right thing and poof, off we go.
And that would be okay. Yep. It won't change me, though. I'll still be the same smart aleck that I am right now.
The thing I learned really early on is don't buy your own press, not whether it's good or whether it's bad. Just be who you are truly at heart, and everything else, just forget it exists.
Yeah, we're up to question 25 of 28, so we're in the home stretch now. Have you both thought about writing a book together? Nope, not really.
No.
never been discussed, but
no.
I mean, would that even be a viable idea? You know, I mean, I do like to write. I like to speak. Okay. Public speaking doesn't bother me in the slightest. Have I ever thought of writing a book? Any of the ideas in my head are more novels. Mm-hmm. They're not stories. And so many ideas that I wish that I would have the time to write.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah. As a writer, I there's always that part of me that sees the value in saving the stuff. So I have all the data, the original data and episode information. Like if you look at this, you'll see an episode and it'll say Demonic Entities episode, and or it'll say Demonic Entities Research and Demonic Entities episode. So that's what I've lifted out of the research for the actual episode. Some of the things that I have been thinking about doing, getting us to talking to you about doing, and you can cut this if you don't want, but was maybe to figure out a way for us to give the folks some show notes so they can see where some of the resources came from, maybe click to see pictures, stuff like that, to make that increase a little so that they have a little more interaction with what we are talking about, where it's viable.
I would think if we reached more video subscribers than audio, which right now the it's probably 8 to 1, 8 audio to 1 video. And again, I have to be, I'm being overly cautious when it comes to like putting in images or a B-roll or something like that within the videos, that we're going to get a copyright notice or something like that. So I try to be very, very careful.
You know? Right.
So,
but the show notes would allow them to just click through on their own. Oh, so they would be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like the last episode to Ron Moorhead Sounds, I put a link to his page in there, and we've done that before. It's just that now I'm not going to say anything bad about one of the platforms that we're on, but if I didn't have to be, or if I didn't have to have us on that platform, I would say it's not, but.
So, and so like, I will tell you that there's in the back of my head always been the concept of picking the best of the paranormalists to do a book somewhere down the pike, but that would be something that you and I would discuss first.
Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to anything like that.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I mean, it's I'm open to.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've learned is that the relationship when you're doing something, a project with somebody, I've worked with other authors and, you know, other people for years, is that I never make a decision on my own on something like that. So you and I would just sit down and have a couple conversations about what we see and how we see it fleshed out and like get an idea. And then I have great confidence that you and I would be fine with whatever the result of it is. Just like I can write with Mark and Mark can just say, hey, you want to write a book? Literally, he's done this. Hey, you want to write a book with me? And I'm like, sure. He's like, the contracts will be there in a couple of weeks from such and such a publisher. And I'm like, okay.
Nice.
And then just jump off, you know, just jump into the work. And then we just sit down and decide what stories we want to put in and then split them in half and start working. So, yeah, maybe down the pike, there might be a paranormalist book. I don't know what it looks like. I can't envision it at this point, but I have been keeping notes and records as everything's being done so that we would have a database to go back to.
I said almost at the end. So, folks, hang on. We're nearly there. Would you ever consider selling merchandise, T-shirts, or stickers or anything of that ilk?
Well, I won't tell you it's an absolute no. Actually, it's funny because my son said to me today, my middle boy, Mike, he's like, when are you going to start with the merch, Mom? Like you could do like the paranormalist T-shirts and mugs. And I said, well, that really wasn't what we got into this for. And we haven't really, like we approached this as a project because we love it. We didn't approach it as though it was a business opportunity. And we discussed that up front. If we grow to that point, that's one thing. But again, this would be a conversation for you and I to have, Stu and I to have, and talk through it and see where we want to go. We both have lives. We both have jobs. We both have a lot on our plates. And we would discuss it. And I think that's the best answer is that, yeah, I've thought about it. Of course, I thought about it. I'm not stupid. Everybody on this planet is hawking merch and seeking patrons and what have you. We have not done any of that on purpose. We have left it be purely for the love of doing it at this point.
Mm-hmm. And having been on the purchasing end of those things, it seems like there's two different methods of doing it. Number one is you purchase a big run of something, like 1,000 of something, and then you are responsible for shipping them out, or you can partner with somebody to ship them out for you. But still, there's a significant outlay at the beginning. Or there is a make-to-order.
Yes, which is that route I would want to go.
And yeah, for the end user, for the purchaser, it ends up being way more expensive because those things have to be created one at a time. And you know you have to have that process, and then just like anything else in capitalism, everybody gets a cut.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's like with books. People think that whenever you see a book, it costs $20. The author gets $20. No, the author gets $4. The rest of that $20, it goes to the publisher, to the bookstore, and I don't begrudge either of them because they are equal partners in this process. But yeah, if you look at it, it's not an equal payout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and Patty said it best. I mean, we are doing this for the love of doing it. You know, I haven't even considered monetizing anything.
We've not even spoken about it more than one. I think the very beginning we said, what do you want to do? And I said, right now, let's just let it ride and just do it for fun. And that's how we've stuck with it. If you guys have input, you guys want to know more, let us know what you think. Because it does matter to us what you think. I mean, seriously, we appreciate you. There are people that followed us from the old podcast to the new podcast. You know who you are, the ladies in Poland, hint, hint, and several others as well. But yeah, it matters. So let us know. But we hadn't really talked about that part because we've just enjoyed honing this craft.
Last two questions, and these are both for you because I know I don't. Have you ever been on a TV show?
Yes. If you go to Mysterious Journeys and look up Witches of Salem and Eastern State Penitentiary, I was on both of those. If you go to Amazon Prime and look up Ryan Cavallini, you will find that there's three documentaries I did with him. and just look, put his name into the search on Prime, and his documentaries will come up. And I did Dent's Run, Davy Lewis, and there's another one about myths and legends, which I can't think of the name of it on top of my head. So I've been in all of those. I've been in a few other things as well, different TV shows and stuff. But those are the ones if you want to take a look. You will see me pudgier and with dark hair and a lot younger. And I do have a funny story real quick about the stuff they were saying about my family. So when I did the Mysterious Journeys, that was the very first like international TV show type thing. So like for the 3 or 4 weeks that they were filming in the area, I was going to Gettysburg because we filmed my stuff in Gettysburg because they were down there to film for Mark as well. And I kept saying to my kids, I'm doing this TV show called the Mysterious Journeys. I wouldn't say it all the time, but maybe 2 or 3 times I mentioned it. And that's why I got to go back to Gettysburg. About 4 months go by, and the first episode, my episode appears, the first one being the Salem Witches episode, and my oldest son comes, his girlfriend comes in and that evening, and she sits down, and it's on. I wanted to see it. I'd never seen myself do a TV show, and I wanted to see what I did good and what I did bad. So I'm sitting there, and I start to watch it, and they start out with you hear my voice, and then it pans to my face, and she's sitting there, and she just looks at it, and she has her jaw drop open, and she looks at me, and she goes, "You're on TV." And then just about that time, my oldest son walks in with the baby, and again, he hears my voice, and then he looks at the TV, and he goes, "Holy crap, Mom, you're on TV." And I'm like, "I told you people." And they're like, "Yeah, but we never listened to you. We didn't believe it." And I'm like, "So I run around all the time telling you stupid
oops
you don't believe." They're like, "Yeah, pretty much."
Oh, there's a bleep for me to do.
Sorry. It's true. So yeah, I mean, that's what I... So yeah, those things you can catch for sure. And I like the documentaries. They're really well done. Ryan's a great man. He's a phenomenal videographer. So I recommend them, but not on the basis of me being in them, on the basis of Ryan being good at his craft.
And the last question for this session, how do you come up with the ideas and topics for the episodes?
If I knew the answer, I would tell it to you. The truth is, I never know. Like, I write episodes up that have never been done. There's probably 30 episodes sitting here in my computer that I haven't done yet because it's not time. It is the same thing that happens when I write a book. I will sell a book based on an outline. And at the beginning, my publishers used to get really nervous because when they got the book, it was 70% something else. And they would be like, "These aren't the stories we said we were going to buy." And I'm like, "Yeah, but these are better." So the truth is, on a Friday evening, I'm clicking around, watching whatever, doing whatever, and all of a sudden, I just, in my head, I hear, "You need to talk about demons this week." Yep, that's what it is. So I just go down a rabbit hole, and I just start working. Usually, the podcast isn't done until Sunday morning. It isn't completed. You hear behind me a very needy tomcat. Sorry about that. And, but I just don't know. It happens. It's organic. I don't know why. I don't know if there's somebody out there that needed to have that information, so the good Lord decided that's the topic I should talk about or what it is. But it just, I fall down a rabbit hole on Friday nights and or Saturday mornings, and by Sunday evening, I know what the thing is. I've put it all together in a day and a half. Well, it's a day and a half at the most, because I always go see my grandchildren on Sundays. And Stu will tell you that's written in stone. Absolutely.
And you've mentioned before where you start doing research on one topic and that triggers other topics that you say, I want to do that.
Yeah. So like I was telling him, I had some computer glitches. I had 3 different podcasts rolling at the same time I was writing because each of them led me to something else. And I knew that if I talked about this topic, that topic needs to be addressed as well. So it's just, I don't know. My crazy brain works how it works. And if I had a really good answer, I'd tell you. But it just pops in my head and I go, the end.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for all the answers. I want to thank, she didn't give us permission to give her name. So I want to say
first name, I think.
I was going to say thank you, yeah. M.
Yeah.
Okay. For all the wonderful questions. And hopefully this may spur some other listeners, viewers, to come up with other questions. Literally, there was all these questions came from one person in one email. So that literally was an entire episode. And I think this, this is one of the ones that there's not going to be a lot of editing in. So,
yeah. And just to let you know, I was planning a totally different episode, and Stu and I were talking prior to shooting, and we started talking about this, and he said, I'm ready to do it anytime you are. And I'm like, well, hey, there's no prep work to this. Let's do it. So we actually moved back an episode. So that's how much planning goes into this sometimes. Yeah. Ma'am, thank you for your interest, your time, everything that you've put into this, all these questions, man. That's a lot of time you've put into thinking that up. Thank you. I hope we answered the questions in a way that made you feel validated for all your work.
I'm done. Can't say anything else.
Yeah.
So, good night.
Yep. Good night, everybody.